And we're holding on Memphis Umud Bays, 13 lines from the bottom, the last word. The line begins, Bamem Shamrin. We learned yesterday about a couple of things that disappeared when the Beis HaMikdash was, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. We talked about when the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, then the Urim V'Tumim ceased to function. There were no more Ori Migrash, the cities of the Levim. We talked about the Shamir disappeared. So now more things. Amrav Ami, Meshacharav Mikdash Rishin, Batla Shira Pranda, Uzchuchis Levana. When the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Shira Pranda, which is a high, Shira means silk, and Pranda means a high quality. So it's a Rashi just says it's type of silk, but other Mepharshim explain that it means high quality. So that disappeared. Uzchuchis Levana, and white, meaning clear glass, like crystal, disappeared. There are other places, there's a Tosfos and Shabbos that says that it may not mean these things disappeared altogether. We find references to them later on in Shas, later on in Jewish history. It means they became much, much rarer. Tanina Mihalchi, we learn similarly in a Braisa, Mishachar Mikdash Rishon, Bot Lashira Prando, Schochas Levana. Those two things disappeared. And also the Rechev Barzel, another thing that disappeared at the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon, was iron chariots. We find here and there in Tanakh where it mentions that various Goyishan nations had iron chariots. But at the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, that kind of thing ceased to exist. The Karen Oda points out that all of these have a deeper meaning as well. The fact that there's no more iron chariots also represents we don't have as much of a power to fight against the Yetzer Hara, and the other ones also represent various kinds of shleimos in Midas and in Toto, whatever, that we don't have anymore. The Yesh Omrim, some say, another thing that disappeared, Af Yayin Korush Habomi Sneer, also congealed wine that comes from Sneer, which resembles cakes of pressed figs. Sometimes korush means congealed, as in hardened, like the wine was left out for a long time until it became hard, and it would become, I guess, like the consistency of fruit leather or something. And here we're talking about that it would be the consistency of a cake of pressed figs, which is hard. There's actually other places where the Gemara says they'd have to cut it with axes and saws. It could maybe also mean frozen. Sneer is actually Mount Hermon in the north of Eretz Yisrael. So conceivably Yain Kodosh could mean frozen wine, essentially like wine popsicles or something. Whatever the case, we're saying that Yesh Omrim, that also disappeared at the time of the first Churban. Now going back to the Mishnah had also mentioned things that disappeared. Mishachar Beis HaMikdash, this main in Mishnah, in the Braisa, we clearly said it's once the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. In the Mishnah, some of the things referring to may be when the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Anyway, the Mishnah had said one of the things that disappeared was the Neufes Tzufim. So my Neufes Tzufim. So what is Neufes Tzufim? We know, of course, it has to be something sweet and delicious because we have in the Pasuk, Masukim Midvash for Neufes Tzufim. But what is it exactly? Omer Rav Solas Shatsofar Gabe Nofa. So Rav explains the word Neufes is related to the word Nofa, which means a sieve for sifting flour. The word Tzufim is related to the word Sofa, which means float. So it means the fine flour that floats on top of, meaning that sticks to the sieve when you're sifting flour. So you want to keep the solus and you want the kemach, which is the more powdery stuff, to fall out the sieve. And that's why we have in Pirkei Avos and Perakei, you have that a good Talmud is one is like a sieve shemitzias and as a kemach kolletus as a solus, that it lets out the powdery flour and it keeps the fine flour. So here, this fine flour we're talking about is such a good quality that it has so much fatness in it. Rashi explains that it sticks to the sides of the sieve. So that's Neufes Tzufim. The Doma Le'isa Sheni Loisha B'Dvash U'Shemen, it resembles dough that was kneaded with honey and oil. That's how rich, that's how fat and rich it is. So that's one. The Levi Omer, Levi gives a different definition. Shtei Kikris and Idbokis B'Tanur, it's like two loaves of bread that stick to one another in the oven. The teufels, so they swell up in the oven, because again the flour that they're made, the flour and the other ingredients that they're made from are such good quality that it blows up, it inflates very much in the oven, or boils and continues ad shemagiyas zuluzu, until they touch one another. So according to that, then in other words, there was a bracha in the dough that it would grow so much. So Rashi explains according to that sufim. According to that sufim is related to the word suf, which means a honeycomb, which means that it. So Marsha explains further. Noifes then is Malashan noif, like the foliage of a tree which spreads out in all directions. And sufim again would be Malashan suf. Rashi also makes the point that it resembles suf that grows and then spreads, where some Mephoshim explain that suf means like mushrooms that grow in every direction. So that's the second definition of nofet sufim. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi amazet dvasha bominat sifya. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says the third definition, nofet sufim, is a type of honey that comes from sifya, which is from the mountains, and mountains, Rashi has the gifts of minat sufim, from mountains that are tall and you can see to a distance from them, and then honey from the mountains, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, is very high quality. So that disappeared at the time of the Churban. So my mashma, where do we get that honey from the mountains is particularly good. So can the Targum Rav Sheshes, as we find Rav Sheshes translates on the pasuk on the pasuk in Parashas Devarim. Marshall says actually the Gersa should be Rav Yosef. We find in many places in Shas where Rav Yosef was an expert in Targum. Whatever the case, actually the truth is that both Rav Yosef and Rav Sheshes had this in common. They were both blind, so either one of them might have specialized in Targum for that reason. Anyway, he translates. So you have the pasuk in Parashas Devarim where Moshe is describing how when the Jewish people were attempting to storm into Eretz Yisrael after the Chet Maraglim, when the Ma'apilim were trying to go up the mountain over there and enter Eretz Yisrael. So the pasuk says that the Goyim came and attacked them, kasher tasena hadvorim, like bees do. So Rav Sheshes, or Rav Yosef, translated, kamod notzan dabriyosa, like the way that bees swarm, v'shoten berume alma, and they fly around, and they swarm, or they buzz around at the heights of the world, umasyan dufsham, the ispe tura, and they bring honey from the grasses on the mountains. So we see that honey that comes from the mountains is particularly high quality. So according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, that's what we mean when we say when we say nofes tzufim disappeared. We mean that kind of good quality honey. Marshall also says according to that, nofes would also be Meloshen noif, the foliage of the trees, because that's usually where bees make their hives. Okay, so the Gemara mentions in this connection Tnan Hosam. We learn in a Mishnah in Masechta Machshirin. Kolan nitzet, we learned about this briefly in Nozir as well. Kolan nitzet tahor, anytime you're pouring a liquid from one container to another, then it's tahor, meaning you're pouring from a tahor container into a tameh one. So we don't say that since they're connected by a column of liquid, therefore the liquid in the top one becomes tameh. No, it remains tahor. Chutz midvash zifim batzapichim, with the exception of honey of zifim and sapichim. And the reason the Gemara is bringing this in over here is again because we're talking about high quality honey. So the point is, dvash zifim and sapichim is honey that's mixed with. Rashi explains that sapichim is honey that's mixed together with the wax that it came from the hive. The point is, both of those are very thick. So therefore, it's considered. Therefore, the column of liquid that connects the top and the bottom is considered like they're connected. In fact, in Nozir, we learned as well that not only is it very thick, but also like they have what the Gemara called over there riri. It has almost like mucus like strings that connect one to the other, and therefore there's considered more of a connection. And when you stop pouring it jumps back into the container, because again it's so thick that it bounces back in. So therefore, for all those reasons we talked about, that therefore those are considered connected. So my zifim. So what do we call the honey? Dvash zifim. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, dvashim is zifim boy. It means it's honey that they forge. People, it's so thick that's so good quality and thick that people mix in wine or people mix in water or wine and the customers don't realize. So you end up, so dishonest sellers are able to stretch it by putting in other ingredients and nobody notices because as it is, it's so thick. Rish Lakish Amar Hashem Mekoymeh. Rish Lakish says it's called Zifim because it comes from a place called Zif. We find in the list of cities in Shevet Yehuda that are listed in Sefer Yehoshua, it mentions the cities of Zif and Telem and Ba'olos. So this honey comes from that area in the south of Eretz Yisrael. There's a similar kind of thing. We also find Zifim in another context. Kapitel Nun Dalet is captioned that David composed this capital to ask Hashem to save him from his enemies and to punish his enemies. When the Zifim came and told Shaul that David is hiding among us, so twice in Sefer Shmuel, it tells how exactly that. The Zifim came to Shaul and said, David is hiding out in our area, come capture him. David, one or both of those times, David davened to Hashem to save him from them. So my Zifim, again, why are they called Zifim? It means people who forge their words, they're liars and they're liars and Baalei Lashon Hara. Rabbi Elazar Amar Shem Mekoyim, and Rabbi Elazar says again they're called Zifim because that's the name of the place they came from. Kedichtiv Zif Batelam of Olos, and we see that Zif is the name of a city in the south of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, the Mishnah had continued. Another thing that disappeared at the time of the Churban, Posku, Anshe Amona, people of Amona, of Amuna, disappeared. Now, obviously, it doesn't mean people stop believing in Hashem, so we have to be talking about a higher level of Amuna. So, Amun Abitzchok, Elo B'nei Odom Shem Ma'aminin Ba'akodesh Baruch Hu, means people who have total trust in Hashem, that he's going to provide their panosa. So, therefore, Rashi explains that they're willing to go the extra mile to go and give away their money for Hidra Mitzvah and Tzedakah and spend on Shabbos and Yom Tov without worrying about where is their parnasa going to come from, because they understand that Hashem runs everything. D'tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, Rabbi Eliezer HaGadolimer, Kol mi sheyesh lepas besaloi, a person who has bread in his basket for today, v'oimer ma'oichal l'mocher, and he says, what am I going to eat tomorrow? So he doesn't fully trust that he's going to have food for tomorrow. Eina elam k'tanei amona, such a person is one of the people who has a lesser degree of amona. So the higher degree of amona is when a person is able to eat today and not worry about tomorrow because he knows that Hashem can provide for him tomorrow just as he did today. This is what it says, that this is what one of the reasons why Hashem gave the man to the Jewish people every day in the desert. Why don't you just give it to them once a week or once a year or something? One of the one point of it has to do with this idea that Hashem wanted to inculcate with them this quality of amona. This also fits with what Rabbi Elazar says. My dichtiv, what does it mean in a pasuk? Ki mi vaz leyoim ptanois. Who has scorned the baz bepashus is meloshin bizoyin. Who is scorning and putting and belittling the day of smallness? But the Gemara is going to dash in baz meloshin bazbeis, which means to waste or to plunder. So it means me godam la tzaddikim she's bazbis shulchan and la'asid lavoi. What causes that tzaddikim's their table, their reward la'asid lavoi is plundered, is less than it should be. They don't receive their full schar. Shahoyah behen is the smallness of amuna that was in them. Shalohem minu ba'akadosh baruch hu, that they didn't fully believe in Hashem, that they had, for example, this kind of thing that I have food today, but am I going to have food tomorrow? Marashah, by the way, points out tzaddikim are on a lesser level than chassidim. So chassidim would have this emuna that we're talking about, but as we learned before, chassidim v'anshe ma'ase, you don't have as many as you used to of the classical kind of chassidim. So here we're talking about tzaddikim. They haven't reached that level, but therefore they end up losing part of their schar, loss of love, because they're worried about the parnasa in this world. They didn't believe in Hashem so fully as to trust him even to this extent. Rava, Amar Rava says there's a different explanation of the pasuk kini vaz liyem ktanos. It means something different. Elu ktanei bnei rishei Yisrael. It refers to the young children of Rishoyim among the Jewish people. Shema Vazbaz and Dinavim Lasid Lavai. they plunder and they defeat and they call it, Rashi says, Kodim, they tear up the judgment against their parents, La'asid Lavai. So their parents were Rishoyim. These children died young. The result of that is they're able to successfully argue that their parents shouldn't be punished. Because they're able to say to Hashem, since in the future you were planning to punish our parents in Gehenna for the way they acted, why did you blunt their teeth with us? In other words, why did you make it that in Olam Hazeh as well, they had to go through the Avelos and the Tsar of us children dying, so therefore that alone should be a kapara for them, that they shouldn't also have to undergo suffering in Gehenna. So therefore, that's Kimi Vaz. So now Rava is doushing in the pasuk. Kimi Vaz. Who is it that causes Mevazbiz to plunder and to defeat and destroy the din of the parents lost at Lavai? Layoim on the day that would be for Gehenim, Ktanos, the children who are able to successfully argue that Hashem shouldn't further punish their parents after they already went through punishment in Olam Hazeh by losing their children. This reminds me of something that this reminds me, Indian learning, Bosa Indian, of something that I heard a long time back, and I don't remember the mocker of it, that you have during the Holocaust, well over 1 million Jewish kids were killed. I mean, you had 6 million altogether, but of them, about a quarter or more were children. So they say that those neshamas came in front of Hashem and said, you know, what do you want from us? You didn't even give us an opportunity to grow up and do Torah and mitzvah. So Hashem sent them back to the world, and they became the neshamas of all the Baalei Tshuva that came in the following generation from that, beginning particularly in the 1960s. We had the great Baal Tshuva movement. Those, it said, were the neshamas of those children. Anyway, continues the Gemara. So now the Gemara brings a number of drushes about that have to do with poverty. So first of all, it has to do with, we said that people are poorer nowadays than they were before the Churban. Also, one point is that since the Gemara mentioned that honey mixed with wax, so now the first thing the Gemara is going to bring over here has something to do with wax. So Amar of Ila Bar Yevarechia. If it hadn't been for David's tefillah in a pasuk in Tehillim that we're going to quote in a second, all the Jewish people would be so poor that the only thing they would have to be able to make a living from would be to sell revav. So Rashi explains that revav means anything repulsive. For example, fat or things like that. They stick to your clothing. They're very unattractive. So people need it. People need fats and greases or whatever and waxes. But if it weren't for David's tefillah, all the Jewish people would be so poor that would be the only way they could make a living. Instead, David Davin, Shanema, Shisa, Hashem, Moda, Lahem. Hashem, make a Moda for them. So the previous psukim at the end of Kapitel Tes talk about that Hashem won't forget the poor, and he won't destroy the hope of the poor and the needy. So David finishes off, give them a Moda, Maloshin Morus. Morus means means the ability for leadership, for domination over others. In other words, give them a certain wealth that, as the pasuk finishes, Yedu Goyim Enosh Hemasela, so the Goyim should realize that they themselves are only human. They're not gods. They shouldn't think we have the power over the Jewish people, and the Jewish people are poor, so therefore we're gods, and they're not. We make the Jewish people have morus, give them the ability to also have domination and leadership and wealth, and that way that'll help put the Goyim in their place. If it weren't for Chavakuk's tefillah, two Talmid Chachamim would have to cover themselves with one talus to learn Torah, again, because they would be so poor, they would have to share a talus between them. Chavakuk says in his tefillah, we're going to have it as the Haftarah on the second day Shavuos, Hashem shamati shimacha yoresi, Hashem, I heard your report of what you do, yoresi, and Hashem, and I was fearful, Hashem, po'olcha b'kerev shanim chayehu, Hashem, make your works among the midst of the years, make it alive. So in Parshat Pshat, he's asking that Hashem should take care of the Jewish people during all the years and centuries of Golos. But the Gemara says, I'll take you b'kerev shanim ela b'kiruv shnayim. Don't read b'kerev shanim in the midst of the years, but b'kiruv shnayim with the closeness of two. So in other words, that Chavakuk is asking, ha'olcha, your deeds, which is words of Torah, which have to take place, Bekiruv Shnayim, with two people together, huddling under one talus for covering and for warmth, instead of Hayehu, bring that alive, meaning heal that, and give them and give the Jewish people a break, give them their chayus, that they shouldn't need to do that, that Talmid Chachamim also should have more plentifulness and should not be reduced to such dire straits. When you have two Talmid Chachamim walking on the road, the Ein Beinein Divrei Torah, and they're not talking Divrei Torah between them, they deserve to be burnt in fire. Shenema, as we find when Eliyahu is about to go up to Shemayim, so the pasuk says, "Vayhi hema hochim holich v'daber." It says they, Elisha and Eliyahu, were walking and talking. And all of a sudden, a fiery chariot came and separated between the two of them and took Eliyahu up to Shemayim. So taima de'ikadibur. So the implication is only because they were speaking in Torah, only therefore the chariot took Eliyahu away, but didn't harm either one of them. Therefore, Ila is saying the implication seems to be that if they hadn't been talking words of Torah, they would have deserved to be burnt. And that's why, in other words, So that's why the chariot came between them. So that's why the chariot came between them to represent this point that either it's there to burn them or to take Eliyahu up to Shemayim. And since they were speaking in Divrei Torah, therefore it was the latter and not the former. Okay. When you have two Talmid Chachamim who live in one city, and they're not gentle to one another in halacha, so they don't learn together at all, or when they learn together, it's in a confrontational way, not in the way that should be. I mean, it does have, sometimes you do have where there's a confrontation between chachamim, but it should be as bohev besufa, that at the end of it they may be fighting a lot, but at the end they have avos yisrael one to another, because that's what they had all along. But here they don't do that. They don't have that nachas ruach one to the other. So echad mes ve'echad goyla. The result is one of them ends up getting killed by the other one, b'shergig, and the second one ends up going to the Orei Mikva. So the one Talmid Chacham accidentally kills the other one and then winds up having to run away to the Orei Mikva. Or Rashi says it could also mean, it doesn't have to mean necessarily an actual killing. It can also mean, for example, that there can be that one. There can also be that one dies naturally, and the other one goes into golos some other way. Anyway, shenemar lanus shomer reitzeach. As the pasuk says that about the orin mikva, that the purpose of them is to that a reitzeach should run away from there. Asher yutzach hasreel bivli das. That he kills somebody else without das. Now usually elsewhere in the Psukim, where it talks about this, concept of one person killing another accidentally, it usually says b'shgaga or some expression like that. Here, all of a sudden, it uses the word b'vli das. So that represents the in das of a Torah shenema nidmu ami b'vli das. The word das refers to Torah, as the pasuk says, my people are silent with a lack of das. In other words, because they don't have the das to be teaching one another and to be learning from one another. Rashi points out that also the end of the pasuk nidmu ami b'vli das continues batishkach Torah salakecha, you forgot the Torah of Hashem. So we see that das is associated with Torah, and therefore we're saying that these two Talmid Chachamim lack das. They don't have this quality of bonding with one another and learning and teaching to each other. So therefore you have rotzeach hashi yutzach hasreihu. The Gemara continues Amar of Yehuda brei derabchia. Now, we talked about before, Talmid Chachamim, who learned Torah in great poverty, were saying if it hadn't been for Chavakuk's tefillah, you would have to have that even, they couldn't even each afford clothing of their own. They both have to be sharing one talus. So now, in this connection, a person who occupies himself with Torah, even though he's in a bad financial situation, his tefillah will be listened to by Hashem. Shenema, as the pasuk says, ki am b'tzion yeshev b'Yerushalayim, the people will sit in tzion in Yerushalayim, where tzion particularly refers to the people who are learning Torah. We find, for example, Oyev Hashem Sharei Tzion Mikol Mishkanes Yaakov. So the Gemara elsewhere, Marsha points out elsewhere, the Gemara speaks of Tamar Chacham Hamtsuyonim Ba'alocha, who are distinguished in their knowledge and their application of halacha. So the pasuk continues, Bochoy Loisivke, you won't have to cry. Chonun Yochnachol Kol Zakecha, Hashem, who is merciful, will be merciful to you, Hashem, L'Kol Zakecha, at the sound when you're crying out. Kishem Osei Onoch, when he hears it, as soon as he hears your tefillah, Onoch, he will answer you. So we see, in other words, that these psukim are talking about a person who has reason to be crying out, and Hashem, but he's Betzia, and he's learning Torah, and Hashem will listen to him right away. The next pasuk continues, V'nosen Hashem lachem lechem tsar, V'nosen Hashem lachem, the actual Loshana pasuk is V'nosen lachem Hashem, whatever, lechem tsar umayim lachatz, Hashem will give you bare amount of bread and a bare amount of water. So in other words, we see we're talking about a person who's literally, he's living off of a bare amount of bread and water, and still he's learning Torah, So therefore, we're saying that kisham osay onoch, as soon as you daven, Hashem will answer you. Rabbi Bohu says not only that, such a person will be satisfied. Hashem will make him satisfied with the radiance of the Shekhinah. Shenema is the Bapash, it means even an Olam Hazah. Shenema v'hoyuenecha royes esmeiracha. That same pasuk ends. Your eyes will see your teacher. Who is your teacher? With a capital T is Hashem. So therefore, it means the person will get to see the radiance of the Shekhinah. Rav Acha Bachanino, Am Afein Paragud Ninu Bufanav, and Rav Acha Yaakov says also the Paragud, which is the curtain that, so to speak, separates between Hashem and the Mechitza, that separates between Hashem and the Nivroim, won't be closed in his presence. He'll have free access to Hashem's presence. Shenema, as that same pasuk says, V'lo Yikonef Oid Marecha, your teacher will no longer hide himself behind a corner, behind a garment. So those are the schosim for a person who learns Torah mitoch adchak, when he's having a hard time of it, whether financially or other kinds of things. So he has all these schosim. Okay, the Mishnah had said, Reb Shimon Gamliel, Omer Meshum Rabbi Yeshua, Miyom Shechora Beis Mikdash Ein Chola. We said that ever since the Beis Mikdash was destroyed, there was not a day that the curse of it is worse than it is. Every day, the curse is worse than the day before. So Omer Rava, B'chol Yomim, Meruba Kilos Meshoch Adayra. So Rava expands on that. It's not just so Reb Shimon Gamliel had said that there's no day that doesn't have a klala. So now the Rava is saying not only that, every day the klala is worse than the day before. Shenemar, as it says at the end of the Torchacha in Parshas Kisavai, Baburka Toma Miyitan Erev, in the morning you'll say, who would give if only it were possible for it to be the evening, over Erev Toma Miyitan Burka, and in the evening you'll say, if only it were possible to be the morning. So we have to ask, when it says in the evening, you'll say, if only it were the morning, hey Burka, which morning would the person be looking for, would the person be wanting? Does he mean tomorrow morning? And he's saying it's nighttime now. I wish it was already morning. Why? Me yada my havi. How does he know what's going to happen tomorrow morning? Might be worse than tonight. So he means if only it were this morning, because even this morning was better off than it is now at night. So that's how bad things are getting. So ve'ela alma amai kamakayim. Well, then the question is, if every day the klala is worse than the previous day, then what does the world continue to exist on? On what schus? And the answer is Kedusha de Sidra, on the Kedusha de Sidra, which is, so Rashi explains like this, not necessarily, you're not going to have, unfortunately, that every yid learns Torah every day. So therefore, the Chachamim were misakin that we say Volot Zion, which is a collection of Psukim, and then Kedusha of Hashem. We say the Psukim of Kedusha with Targum, and that's why we say it with Targum, so even the Amei Oretz will understand it. And we say various other Psukim, so that way we're Yotza a minimum degree of Talmud Torah. And then afterwards, we say Kaddish Shalom, so that's Kedusha de Sidra. The Yehei Shmei Rabba Dagadda, and on the Yehei Shmei Rabba that said at Kaddish after Agadda, when a darshan's in Agadda, and afterwards we say Kaddish to Rabbanon, then that's also, so Rashi explains that in particular that takes place on days that aren't work days, Rashi says particularly on Shabbos, so therefore we have Torah and Kiddush Hashem together in both of these cases, so on that schus, the world continues to exist. This is, by the way, why you have, for example, at the end of Pirkei Avos, when we say Rav Chanan and Akasha Omer, the idea is supposed to be, the post can talk about it extensively. In theory, maybe you could say Kaddish after learning Halachas, but really you should say it only after Agadah. So therefore, we always, at the end of a thing, at the end of a session of Halachas, we finish off with something of a Gadda, and then we say Kaddish. So the original idea, I guess, would have been that they say Kaddish after Pirkei Avos as well. I don't know anybody who does that now, but whatever. That's the idea. That's the Omni Yehesh Meirava Da Gadda. So the Gemara says Shenema, and we see that from a posuk in Iyov, Eretz a fosuk my ofel, a land that is in deep gloom, that is in deep darkness and gloom, like the gloom, Salmoves, a shadow of death, the lois dorim, and there's no order. And the pasuk finishes off a tofa k'may oifel, that appears like the darkness. So that means, so only because there's no sdorim is there this continued darkness. Sdorim referring to the order of reading and learning parashiyos of Torah. Ha yesh sdorim, implying if there is sdorim, if there is that people are saying the sidra of a volatzian and saying kaddish afterwards, and they're doing a seder of learning and afterwards saying kaddish toifia me'ofo, then there will be darkness will come from the gloom. It won't be so gloomy and dark. There will be a light in the world. So we see that those kaddishim are what the world continues to stand on. Next, the Gemara continues. The Mishnah had said, "V'lo yorad tal livracha." The dew no longer falls for bracha. The dew is not as effective in accomplishing what it's supposed to as it's supposed to. The nitol tam peiros chola, and we said the taste of the peiros has been taken away. And then the Mishnah went on to say that various other opinions of what exactly it is that caused the taste and the aroma of the peiros to disappear. We had Rabbi Yossi. First of all, Rabbi Yossi had said also the fatness, the nourishment of the peiros was taken away. Rabbi Shimon Elazar says the fact that people are no longer doing Tumah V'Tahara, that took away the taste and the fragrance, and then Maestris took away Shuman, and the Chamseitz Nus and Kshafim took it all away. So the Gemara continues on that topic. Tanya Rabbi Shimon Elazar, Tara Bitla Tam V'Reach, the lack of Tara, the fact that people are not careful with the dinim of Tumah V'Tahara, that took away the taste and the fragrance of the fruit. Maiser Bitla Shuman Dagon, and failing to give Maiser took away the fatness and the nourishment of the grain. So the Gemara tells Rav Huna Ashkach Tumar to Dechinunisa. One time Rav Huna found a fragrant date, a type of very fat and a nourishing date with a good fragrance. Shokla, he took it, korcha besudre, and he wrapped it up in his sudr. His sudr is a turban that he wears on his head, so he wrapped it up like kind of to save it for later. Also, Rabba Bray, his son Rabba came along, I smell a fragrance of that kind of date, of a tamar dechinunisa. Omalei, so Huna realizes it's not just that Rabba has a sensitive nose, it means he has a sensitivity beruchnius to this kind of aroma. Omalei, he says, Bni Tara Yeshbacha, I see that you have the quality of Tara in your neshama. Yav and Yale, so he gave it to him. You have such Tara, you deserve to have such a thing. Adahochi Osa Abra Bre, as they were talking, Rabba's son Abba came. Shakla Yavin Niale, and Rabba the son took it and gave it to his son Abba, who was Rav Huna's grandson. So that it started out, Rav Huna found that he gave it to his son Rabba, who in turn gave it to his son Abba. So Rav Huna says, Bni, Simachta es libi, you've made my heart happy because you're Tahar, Vihi Kesa es Shinai, but you've blunted my teeth. In other words, you've made me a little bit upset that you show you love your son more than me, that instead of giving me back the date you went and did, instead of giving it back to me, you gave it to your son. Hainu da'amri inshi, this is like the expression people say, rachmi da'aba abnei, the mercy, the rachmanos of the father is on his sons, rachmani da'bnei abnei da'avolei, and the mercy of the son is not reciprocal to his father, but rather on his own children. So therefore, you often find the Gemara elsewhere mentions the idea, for example, that one, I think Rashi brings it someplace, that one father will support 10 sons, but even sometimes you have 10 sons that won't support one father. So yeah, but people naturally more have a rachmanus to their children than to their parents. So he's saying, you know, you made me a little bit upset that you show that you love him more than me. In a similar vein,
was the grandson ready for that?
He was ready for it, for Pashtus, but whatever the case, Rav Huna is saying, still,
that's,
I would have.
That's, yeah. That's for grandson, that's a nachas.
Yeah, okay, it's a nachas, but still, he's saying in a certain sense, like, yeah. In a similar vein, Rab Acha Bar Yaakov Itpal Beber, Rab Yaakov Bar Brate. Rab Acha Bar Yaakov raised his grandson, Rab Yaakov, the son of his daughter. Key Godel, when the grandson Rabbi Yaakov was older, Omalei, so one day Rabbi Acha Bar Yaakov asks him, the grandfather asks him, Ashki and Maya, give me water to drink. And you have to remember, you know, it wasn't just going over to the sink and filling up a cup of water. It was a big tircha. Omaloi, so the grandson, Rabbi Yaakov says, Lav brich ano, I'm not your son, and I'm not obligated in kibud avayim. Now, how could he say such a thing? So one point is, because he's saying it would take me away from my time learning Torah. So in other words, if I was your son, I have a mitzvah of kibud avayim, so that overrides that. But heyois, I don't have as much of a mitzvah. A person has a shtickle mitzvah of kibud avayim, but not to the extent that it should override learning Torah. He raised him, but yeah. So Vahainu Da'amri Inchi, this is like the expression that people say, Ravi, Ravi, you raise your person says, raise me, Ba'bratachana, but I'm the son of your daughter, meaning in other words, I'm not going to give you the full covered that a son would give to his father. It's not meaning that as a chutzpahdika thing, obviously. He's saying, you know, the fact is, you have to put things in perspective, everything. You know, obviously, if the grandson, Rabbi Yaakov, had not been such a Talmid Chacham, if he had been wasting his time on other things anyway, then by all means, he should be honoring his grandfather, but not at the expense of learning Torah. Okay. Since we said in the previous Mishnah and the Gemara, we talked about various things that disappeared at the time of the Churban and after that. So now the Gemara continues in a similar vein about certain things that the Chachamim made a gzera. We said, for example, when the Sanhedrin was stopped functioning, then Botel Ashir, then they stopped singing. So therefore, now we have other things. But Pulmos Shal Aspasianus, during the Pulmos of Aspasianus, so Aspasianus is the Roman general who besieged Yerushalayim in the years before the Churban, and you have the whole story in Gittin, we're going to have in a couple of months, Bez Hashem, where Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had himself smuggled out of Yerushalayim and went to see Aspasianus and asked him for Yavne v'Chachameha and so forth. Anyway,
first one or second?
So this is the second Mishnah. Rashi explains that Pulmos means the army of Aspasianus. The Rambam says it just means during the period. Anyway, during that time, Gozral Akras Chasanim, the Chachamim made a gzera. From now on, Chasanim should not wear crowns, vala irus, and that you're not allowed to have an irus, which is a type of musical instrument, at a wedding. We'll see in the Gemara what an irus is. The Pulmos Shal Titus, during the Pulmos, the army or the period of Titus, now when did this take place? So on the face of it, Titus is the son of Aspasianus, and in that case, we're talking the continuation because the Gemara tells us they were after Aspasianus left to take up the emperorship, then his son Titus came and took over. However, Rashi over here explains that Pulmos Shal Titus actually goes back a long time before that. The Gemara is going to bring the story of the two Hashmonai brothers some 130 years earlier, who had a civil war between them, and eventually they brought in the Romans into Eretz Yisrael. So Rashi says that's what we're referring to as Pulmos Shal Titus. Now, this is long before Titus was even born, but because the after effects of it were that the Romans were brought into Eretz Yisrael, and eventually they were the ones who, under Titus, destroyed the Beis Hamikdash, so therefore it can be called Pulmos Shal Titus, as in other words, the war that eventually led, after one thing and another, eventually led to the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash under Titus. Yeah, so you have that, you have different other possibilities, what Pulmos Shal Titus is, and one possibility is there are some Kisveyad that instead of Titus have the word Titus, which in that case, then that would refer to, there was a Roman general of that name, about 45 or so years after the Churban, there was a big wave of pogroms against Jews all over the Roman Empire, and according to that, then the Mishnah would be referring to that. In history books, you'll find, even in some Jewish history books, you'll find that the Jews were trying to rebel against the Romans, and the Romans crushed the rebellion. But they actually found fragments of manuscripts that show it was the other way around, that the Goyim were doing pogroms against the Jews, and the Jews were defending themselves. And of course, the Goyim accused them of starting it. Not much has changed from then till now. Anyway. So whatever Pulmos Shal Titus is, Gozral Atris Kalus, they made a gzera on crowns that Kalas wear, that they're not allowed to wear such crowns, certain kinds of crowns. V'shalo yilam and odimus b'no yavonis, and that a person shouldn't teach his son Greek, which the Gemara is going to say doesn't mean the Greek language. It means something called chochmas yavonis, as we'll talk about in the Gemara. So again, it could mean Pulmos Shal Titus. So again, according to Rashi, it can mean that this took place at the time of that war of the Hashmonaim, and the Gemara is going to tell us the story of how Chochmas Yavonis figured in it. If we say that it means Titus, the regular, the historical Titus who destroyed the Beis Hamikdash, or that it means Kitus, this Roman general from 45 years later, then it would mean that they made that Gzeira at the time of the Hashmonaim, but it didn't stick, and therefore they had to remake the Gzeira again later. Okay, but Pulmos Achron Gozru, in the last war, so Rashi says it means the one of the actual Churban, and others explain it means the war of Bar Kochba. Anyway, Gozru, the Chachamim made a gzera, shalai tetzah kala ba pirion b'seicha ir, that a kala should not go out in the city in an apirion which is a fancy canopy. They would bring her from her father's house to her chosin's house where the wedding is going to take place. They would have, Rashi describes, their coats, and they have gold coats with gold threads, and talisim with gold threads, and they would make like a canopy around her as she's going. So the chachamim were mevatel that. However, for Rabbi Senu Hitiru, all rebbes in a later generation, that she should be able to, because the Gemara is going to explain it's more tzniistic that way. Next, Mishemes Reb Meir, when Reb Meir passed away, botlu moishle mishalim, then there was botl, the people who know how to make expert mishalim to illustrate ideas in Torah. The Gemara tell Rashi refers to a Gemara and Sanhedrin that Reb Meir, when he would give a derasha, one third of it would be mishalim, and the Gemara says over there that he knew 300 mishalim just involving foxes, so he was able to illustrate everything with an excellent mashal. So that disappeared when the mayor passed away. Mishemes ben Azai botlu ashakdonim, when Ben Azai passed away, the shakdonim, the people who are very diligent in learning Torah day and night, that disappeared. We find that Ben Azai Shakdonim, Meloshin Shakur, it means somebody who was very diligent and constant in learning Torah. We find that Ben Azai didn't even get married. We had at the beginning of the Masechta, we talked about Yevamos, we talked about that he didn't even get married. He was only married for a very short time because he was so much in love with Torah. So that disappeared. Mishemes Ben Zoma Botlua Darshanim, when Ben Zoma passed away, the Darshanim disappeared. He was an expert in being able to Darshan the Psukim. For example, you have Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, says, we say in the Haggadah, Loizachisi, Shlomi, it says, this Abshad Drosha Ben Zoma. So that kind of expertise disappeared. Mishemes Reb Akiva Botel Kvod HaTorah, when Reb Akiva passed away, the covet of the Torah disappeared. Because we know Reb Akiva, Rashi points out, was darshaning every tag, every quotes on the letters, and learning from extra letters in the Torah. So this is the covet of the Torah, that not a single thing in it is there for nothing. So that disappeared. Mishemes Reb Chanina Ben Dosa Botel Anshe Maisa, when Reb Chanina Ben Dosa passed away, Anshe Maisa, people who have great, tremendous maisim, and because of that, nisim can happen, where the Gemara tells us in Tainus, a number of nisim that happened with Reb Chanina Ben Dosa, that kind of person disappeared. Mishemes Reb Yosi Katanta Poskul Chassidim. When Reb Yosi Katanta passed away, then that was the Chassidim, the people who are beyond Sadikim, who go Lefnim Meshur Sadin. So that was the last of them. The Laman Nikoshme Katanta Shoy Katanta Shoy Chassidim. He himself was the least of the Chassidim, meaning Rashi says the Chassidim were disappearing. He was the last one of them, and when he was gone, then that was the end of that type of person. Mishemes Reb Yochanan Zakkai Botel Ziva Chochma. When Reb Yochanan Zakkai passed away, the splendor, the glory of Chochma disappeared. Rashi says, I don't know what it is. Different Mefarshim talk about different possibilities. Marshal refers to the fact that we have in that story in Gittin, where Reb Yochanan Zakkai has tremendous Chochma to get himself smuggled out of Yerushalayim and then go to Siyas Pasyonus. So there we see that kind of Chochma disappeared. And then different other Mefarshim talk about the Be'er Sheva, and others talk about the fact that the Gemara elsewhere says that Reb Yochanan Zakkai knew everything. He knew all parts of Torah. He knew also how the trees speak to one another and the shadim speak to one another, and astronomy and this and that. And the Gemara gives a whole catalog of everything that he knew. Why Rashi doesn't want to learn that way is a different question. Anyway, Mishemes Reb Gamliel Azakin Botel Kvod HaTorah. When Reb Gamliel Azakin passed away, the covet of the Torah disappeared. Rashi refers to a Gemara in Megillah that says up until his time they would learn Torah standing. But then after that, people became weaker and they had to sit when they learned Torah. So it would have been a greater covet for the Torah that people are standing, so that disappeared. Umesa, Tara, Precious, and Tara and Precious, staying away from Averis and from things that a person is not supposed to, died. Now, all the other ones we said, bottle, here we're saying these things died. There's a sicha from Tavshin Lama Tessus, so a siyum on Masech Besoita, where the Rebbe explained, when we say bottle means these things disappeared, or at least, like we said before, about when the white glass and whatever disappeared, means it became very hard to find. As opposed to, Tara and Prishus certainly existed after Reb Gamliel's time. He passed away during the time of the Beis Hamikdash. After all, they still had to keep Tumah B'Tara as long as the Beis Hamikdash was standing, if nothing else. But it means that it died, as in the Chayus went out of it. It still exists, but there's not a Chayus in it like there was before, which the Rebbe said. And in that case, why is the Mishnah telling us that? To encourage us. It's very easy to recapture Tara or Prishus. You just have to put, it still exists, you just have to put a Chayus in there. As opposed to the ones that disappeared, those it's much harder to bring back. Next, Mishemes Rabbi Shmuel ben Pavi Botla Zivakohona. When Rabbi Shmuel ben Pavi passed away, he was one of the last Kohanim Golim in the second Beis Mikdash, the glory of the Kohuna disappeared. Rashi explains that he was a Tamid Chacham, and he was rich, and many Kohanim ate by his table. So that kind of thing you didn't have after that. Mishemes Rebbe, Botla Anova, V'yiraschet. And once Rebbe passed away, then Anova, the humility and Yiraschet, fear of sin, disappeared. Obviously, this wasn't added to the Mishnah by Rebbe. Obviously, this was added after Rebbe passed away. So now we have, it says over here in parentheses, Gemara Tanan Abanan. This is Maharsha Shah added this. In older Gemaras, and you have them in the prints of the Mishnayos, the next piece is going to be a continuation of the Mishnah. But Maharsha Shah says, from here on is not the Mishnah. From here on is a Gemara, that is a Braisa that Gemara is going to be bringing. Anyway, it continues. Rav Pinchas ben Yoraim, Mishachora Beis Mikdash, since the Beis Mikdash was destroyed, Boishu Chaveirim of Nechorin, Chaveirim, which means Tamar Chachamim, and Bnei Chorin, people with Yichus, are ashamed, V'chofu Roshem, their heads are covered in shame, because Rashi explains the Azeponim, the Mamzerim, who are rich, now have greater power, and meanwhile the Chachamim and the Miuchosim are poor. V'nidaldalu Anshei Maisa, the people of Maisa are weak and nobody pays attention to them, the people who have great maisim, like Rav Chanina Mendoza, we said before. The Govru Bali Zroyo Bali Loshen, the people who use their arms, who use their political power and who use their tongues to speak, became powerful. The Ain Dodesh, nobody's seeking the welfare of the Jewish people. The Ain Mavakish, nobody is begging for Rachman for the Jewish people. The Ain Shoyo, and nobody is asking even what's going on with the Jewish people. Maharsha explains the triple expression means in this world, in the world of Mazolos, and in the world of the Malachim. Different explanation is that it means in Machshava, in Dibur, and Maisa. So he says, Al Milon Lishon, Al Avinu Shebashmaim, on who do we have to rely? On our Father in heaven. Which actually, the Rebbe once pointed out, and more than once actually, it's not just on the face of it, he's saying, you know, look, we have nothing else to rely on but Hashem, but actually this is part of the negativity as well, that people are saying, who do we have to rely on but Hashem? We don't have to put in any effort of our own, because it's hopeless anyway. That itself is part of the problem that people don't realize. No, we have who to rely on, we have to pick ourselves up and do some work over here. Rabbi Eliezer Godel says, "Miyom shachara b'smitna shoru chachimaya l'mehevikis safraya." The chachamim, the Talmud chachamim, started becoming like the melamdim, which are on a lower level. The melamdim themselves know Torah, of course, but certainly not on the level of the Talmud chachamim. So the Talmud chachamim have been downgraded to the level of the teachers. The safraya kachazanaya. This, the teachers in turn have become like the Chazanaya, like the Shamoshim, on a lower level even of learning Torah. The Chazanaya Ka'amadara, the Chazonim, the Shamoshim have become like the regular Amiya Oretz. The Amadara, Ozla V'Dawdala, and the Amiya Oretz themselves are becoming lower and lower. The Ein Shoyo Vein Mavakish, and nobody is asking, and nobody is seeking for the good of the Jewish people. Again, Al Mi Yesh L'Yishoyin, Al Avinu Shashmayim, we have to rely on Hashem. Continues the Gemara, or the Braisa, as the case may be, the ikvis Mashiach chutzpah yaske, in the time before Mashiach comes, chutzpah will increase, the yoyku yamir, and prices will go, and prices will be going very high, there'll be great inflation. It can mean there'll be short, so not that there'll be shortages, but that the merchants themselves are going to be jacking up the prices. We have that nowadays. Yeah, we literally see that. Yeah, 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 yeah. Hagefen titen piria. Rashi in Sanhedrin, this Gemara is also in Sanhedrin. Rashi brings over there a different girsa. The yoytu ya'aves, the people who are supposed to be honorable, will be twisted. Yoko can mean expensive, but it can also mean precious, as in the people who are supposed to be precious. Precious Jews have become Ya'avis, have become twisted. Yeah. Hagefen titin piria, the vine will give its fruit, so there'll be plenty of grapes and plenty of wine. Vayayim b'yoker, but wine will be expensive because there's going to be such high demand for it that therefore the prices are going to go up. And also there won't be a bracha in the fruits themselves. The kingdom, the ruling government will turn to minus, to denial of Hashem. Capricorsus, the entechachas, nobody's going to be able to give teuchacha, to give musar to another person, because nobody's going to be able to. Everybody's going to be nichshol and averus. And when one person says to another, you know, you need to stop doing that avera, the other guy's going to say, well, you know better than me. The house where the Chachamim gathered together to learn Torah will become a place of Znus. So it can mean, in other words, that the Chachamim themselves are going to go downhill and be mezana, or it can mean that these places are going to be abandoned by the Chachamim, and therefore people are going to take them over for znus. The Golil, the Pashtus means the area north of Eretz Yisrael, will be destroyed. Gavlon Yishayim, and Gavlon, which is another area in or near Eretz Yisrael, will become desolate. The people on the borders are going to be traveling around. They're going to be wandering around from one city to another. And nobody's going to have rachmanus on them. They're going to be going to collect tzedakah, and nobody's going to have rachmanus on them. The chokhmah of the Talmud Chachamim will be spoiled because nobody's going to want to pay attention to them. And they themselves are going to be live. People are not going to be interested in seichel. People who fear sin are going to be thought disgusting. You see that a lot nowadays, unfortunately. And truth will be missing. The Gemara in Sanhedrin explains also nederes means adorim adorim. There'll be small groups that'll still be interested in emes, but the mass of people will not. So this is all, in other words, Pashat, society is going to fall apart, the Gemara is saying, before Mashiach comes. On the other hand, Ben Yehoyada points out that a number of these things can also be understood in a positive way. So he says the base of Ad Yil is Znus. The word Znus can also be related to a word for spices. So it means Fakir, Beis Avad, the place where the Chachamim gather together to learn Torah. They'll have many different kinds of spices and fragrances of Torah over there. That Golul Yechrav, I don't remember what he says about a Golul Yechrav, but a Gavlon, he says, actually refers to the land of Edom, so that'll be destroyed because the Nevi'im all say that the Edom will be destroyed before Mashiach comes. As far as he says, Chochma Sofim Tisrach, the word Tisrach also can mean to spread out, so it means the Chochma of the Talmud Chacham will spread out and become more widely known. A Yirei Chet Yimasu, he says, means, for example, that if a person says, only I'm Yirei Chet because I'm afraid to do an Aveda because of Hashem's punishment, people are going to look down on him. What do you mean? There's much greater reasons to not do Avedas, and so forth, and he explains a lot of them in very positive ways. Anyway, Ben Yehoyada. Continues the mission, and Orim Pnei Zkenim Yalbinu, the young will whiten and will embarrass the face of the elders. Zkenim Yamdum Pnei Ktanim, the elders will have to stand up in honor of the young ones, because nobody will be respecting the elders, only the young. Ben Menavel Av, a son will be embarrassing and cursing out his father. Bas Kama Be'ima, a daughter will be standing up against her mother. Kalabachamoisa, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Oive ish anshed beisa, a person's own members of his household will be his enemies. Here we have the Rebbe talk about a number of times about the positive in this. First of all, the chutzpah yaske has, we mean chutzpah de kedusha as well, the chutzpah that a person has to go out on shlichus in the middle of nowhere, to go out to the street and put on tefillin with people. That's a chutzpah yaske in a positive way. And similarly, the Rebbe talked about this ben kom of benorim pnei zkenim yalbinu, the young are going to be coming baalei tshuva, and so to speak, and embarrassing their parents that they actually come to a higher level, and they're throwing off the wrong way in which they were raised and becoming frum and becoming shomer Torah mitzvahs and standing up against their parents and having the break kite to do that. Continues the Mishnah. Pnei adurka pnei akelev, the face of the generation will be like the face of a dog. There's a lot of different meanings in it. Rashi explains, among others, that dogs don't get embarrassed. There's a famous verse, I think, from the Chafetz Chaim that says that when you see a person walking a dog, the dog runs on ahead, but really, who's the one leading? Every so often, the dog turns back to look at his master to see which way he wants to go. The same way the leaders are not really going to be leaders, they're just going to be following whatever the people want. If a son won't be embarrassed of his father, which again, as the Rebbe pointed out, can be lamal yusa, they won't be embarrassed to say, I have to continue being a non-frum yid like he was, I can be better. What do we have to rely on? Alavinu shabashmai. So now, either the Gemara is starting here, or it's continuing over here, according to Marashah, it's continuing over here, according to the other Gersoids, it's starting over here. Anyway, when we said in the Mishnah that at one point Chachamim made a gzera that Chassanim shouldn't wear crowns, Omer Rav lo shanu ela shel melach v'gofris. That's only talking about crowns of salt and sulfur. So they would make them out of rock salt and decorate them with designs of sulfur. Abel, so that looks like crystal. Abel shall hadas, shall vered mutter, but you are allowed. A chosin is allowed to wear a crown made of hadasim leaves or of roses. Or shmolam af shall hadas, shall vered usser. Shmuel says, even of hadasim or roses usser, shall kanim, shall chelas mutter, but if it's made out of reeds or kanim and chelas are both different kinds of reeds, reeds or papyrus, then that would be mutter. The Levi amaf shall kanim, shall chelas usser. Levi says, even those are usser. The chain toni, Levi brasnis, in fact, Levi had that in his collection of brises. That he clearly says after kind of also that any kind of crown or any kind of crown or wreath or whatever for a chosin is also. Next, the Mishnah had said Bala Irus. Another thing the Chachamim made Xera is that you shouldn't have an Irus, Samai Irus. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Kavlo Dechad Puma. It means a bell that has one clapper. So they would use it for to make music. So that's also the Rambam has a different definition that it means basically something like a tambourine. Where you bang on it, or it has a covering on one side, and you bang on it. So the Gemara tells Rabba Barav Huna Ovid Le the Bre Tanbura. Rabba Barav Huna made for his son for his wedding a tanbura, which would be something like a tambourine. Rashi has a long definition of it. Anyway, Osavur Tabre, but Rav Huna came and broke it because it says in the Mishnah that Omalei says it's not exactly what it says in the Mishnah, but Mechlaf B'Tavla D'Chad Puma. It's very similar to a Tavla D'Chad Puma. If people hear you playing this by the wedding, they're going to think that you allowed a Tavla D'Chad Puma, therefore you can't have this either. Zil Ovidle Puma D'Chatzva Puma D'Kapiza. If you want to have drumming by the wedding, then go set up on the mouth of a barrel or on the mouth of a kapiza, which is a smaller container. So in other words, there you can stretch out a piece of leather over it and use it as a makeshift drum. That'll be mutter. That's not similar enough to a tavla d'chad to a tavla d'chad puma that anybody should confuse them. Okay, we said Pumas shall Titus Gazer al Atris Kalaschola. They made Xera during the war, during the period of Titus against the crowns of Kalos. So my Atris Kalos, Amr Rabbi Babachon, Amr Rabbi Yechon, an ear shall Zahav. Specifically, we mean a kind of crown or tiara that has a picture of Yerushalayim on it. Tani Namihochi, Zehu Atris Kalos, ear shall Zahav means one that has a golden city, a golden picture of a city on it. Aval oisa kipel shom melas. However, you are allowed to make for a kala a felt hat. Kipel means a type of hat. I mean, Rashi describes it like a woolen hat, and shom melas even a fine material like fine wool that you are allowed to make for the kala. Tonner, we learn in a brayse. Afa chupas chasanim gozru. Another thing that Chacham made gzera on at the time is a chupa of chasan. So my chuppas chasanim, obviously we don't mean the kind of chuppah that we have nowadays, means zahurus hamuzhovus, means where they make it out of crimson, out of a talus dyed red with gold threads in it. And then they set it up as like a canopy. Tanina mihochi, Elohen chuppas chasanim, zahurus hamuzhovus, so those you're not allowed to. Aval oisa papyrus, however, instead a person is allowed to make a framework, a round framework of wood, v'tola b'kol mashi yotze, and then he can hang whatever he wants on it, like we do, like Rashi says we do nowadays. So that you're allowed to do, to have a round wooden framework and then hang fancy cloths on it that you're allowed to do. We said Rishalo Yolamidas Bno Yavonis, a person is not allowed to teach his son Greek. So Tanan Abanon, what's the background to the story? Kshetsoru Malchibes Chashminoi Zealzeh, when the kings of the Chashminoim were fighting and besieging one another, Hayahukunus Mimachutz Aristobulus Mivnim. There were two brothers who were fighting over the crown. Their names were Hukunus and Aristobulus. Hukunus was outside the Bismikdash, Aristobulus was inside, with each one with their men. Every day, Aristobulus's people would send down a basket full of dinarim, full of gold coins, and Hukunus's people would send them up a sheep for the korban tumah, because everybody understood that it's important to keep the avodah going. However, there was one old man, the pashtus on the inside with Aristobulus's people, who knew chochmas yivonis, which is a special kind of Rashi explained that it's a special language that they only know in the royal palaces. The average person wouldn't understand it. So some kind of secret language. Mephoshim talk about that it may have involved sign language, whatever. The point is, it was some kind of thing that the average person wouldn't understand anything he's saying or motioning. Laws lahem b'chochmas yivonis. So use this chochmas yivonis to signal to the people outside. Amar lahem kol zman sha'oskim ba'avoda. As long as they are involved with the avoda, enim son b'yedchem, they will not be given over into your hands. You're not going to be able to defeat them as long as they have the schos of bringing the korbanos. L'machor shir shalahem dinurim b'kupa. The next day, when Aristobulus' people sent down the basket of gold coins, behel lahem chazir. They sent up a chazir. When it reached halfway up the wall, it stuck its hooves into the wall, because a pig will naturally do that. Because when you're trying to drag it someplace it doesn't want to go, it'll naturally like try to hold itself back with its hooves. Maharsha elsewhere explains also that a pig is a symbol of Rome, and that represents the point that now the Romans came into Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, Nizdaza Eretz Yisrael, Abameas Parasa. The whole Eretz Yisrael, 400 Parasa shook, because Rashi says Hashem was so angry at the Chilul Hashem that there was a tremendous earthquake. So at that time, the Chacham said, Oru Odom Shiyagado Chazirim, cursed is a person who raises pigs, but Oru Odom Shiyalamed Levnei Chochmas Yivonis, and cursed is a person who teaches his son this Chochmas Yivonis that this guy used for this purpose. It was about that year that we learned a Mishnah in Menachas, Maiso va'Oimer Gagas Tzrifim. It happened once that the Oimer had to be brought from Gagas Tzrifim, which is an area far away from Yerushalayim. Some say it's near Kfar Chabad nowadays, or Shtei Alechem at Bikas Ein Socha, and the wheat for the Shtei Alechem had to come from Bikas Ein Socha, which is also a considerable distance from Yerushalayim. L'chatchila, they should come as close as possible to Yerushalayim, so the grain should be as fresh as possible. But that year, all the fields around Yerushalayim had been destroyed by the civil war, and also by bad weather and whatever, and therefore they had to bring it from far away. Okay, so the Gemara asks, Eini, is that so? You're not supposed to learn Yevonis. Rebbe says, in Eretz Yisrael, why bother speaking Loshon Sursi, which is Aramaic? Rashi says specifically it's the dialect of Aramaic that's used in the Yerushalmi. Anyway, so why bother? Ella e Loshon HaKodesh, e Loshon Yevonis. Either in Eretz Yisrael, you should be speaking Loshon HaKodesh, or you should be speaking Greek, because they lived under Greek influence in Eretz Yisrael, and the Greek language is a beautiful language. So you see that Rebbe is endorsing that people should speak Greek. And similarly, Rabbi Yosef says, "Bavel Loshon Arami Lama." Why bother using Aramaic in Bavel? Either be using Loshon Kodesh, or since they were part of the Persian Empire, be speaking the Persian language, which is also a nice language. So we see though that Rebbe is saying that it's good to speak Greek. The answer is Loshon Yevonis Lachod, Chochmas Yevonis Lachod. There's a difference between the Greek language and Greek Chochma. No problem with the Greek language, but Greek Chochma, the Chachamim answer. So they're going to ask for Chochmas Yevonis Miasira. You're telling me that Chochmas Yevonis is Osir? The pasuk says, "My eye from crying makes me look ugly more than all the members of my city, or because of all the members of my city." So, in other words, he's saying I have more to cry about than anybody else. He says, "Elif yulodim hayu beisaba." There were 1,000 children learning in my father's house, in Rav Gamliel's household. Chamesh meis lomdu Torah. 500 were learning Torah exclusively. But chamesh meis lomdu chochmas yivonis. 500 were learning chochmas yivonis. Obviously, not only that, but they're learning that in addition to Torah. But Reb Shimon Gamliel says, of all of those 1,000, most of them were killed by the Romans. The only one who's left is me over here and my cousin in Esya. So therefore, he says, I have more to cry about than anybody else. Anyway, the point is, we see that in Reb Gamliel's household, they were learning Chochmas Yevonis. The answer is Shiny Shabbos Reb Gamliel, the Krev and the Malchus Abu. The difference is, in Reb Gamliel's household, they were close to the government. They had to deal with the government on a constant basis. So therefore, they had to be educated in the kind of things that the government considered important. The Tanya, as in fact, we learn in a Blaisa, Misaper Koimi, for a person to cut his hair in the front of his hair and leave a blurtis and leave like a long hair, like a ponytail on the back. Hadizim Idarche Hamodi, that's the acting in the ways of the Hamodi. We had the other day about the children that were killed by the bears, but it's a goyisha hairstyle, you're not allowed to wear that. But Avtulus ben Ruven, Itirulus Sapukumi, but the Chacham gave a heter to Avtulus ben Ruven to cut his hair in that hairstyle, Shu Kodav Lamalchus, because he was close to the government and they expected him to be dressed like that. Similar, the Shabbos Ram Gamliel, the Tirulan Chachazimonis, the Pneisha Kurv and Lamalchus, the same with Ram Gamliel's family and his and people who were learning from him had a heter for Chachmas Yevonis, because they're dealing with the government, but not regular people. Okay, we said Rapul Masachim Gozer Shalitza Kalabah Pirion Chula. We said at one point the Chacham made a Gzera that a Kala shouldn't go out with a canopy in the street, but then the Chacham were matter it. My time of Mishum Tznius because of Tznius, because that would be more Tznius stick when she's walking around in the street. We said Mishum Mesr of Yechan and Botla Chachma. So Talmud Tana Rabbanan, Mishum Mesr Rabbi Eliezer Nignaz Sefer Torah. When Rabbi Eliezer passed away, the Sefer Torah was hidden because he knew tremendous numbers of halachas as if like they were written in the Torah. That many of them were forgotten when he passed away. Mishemes Rabbi Yeshua Botla Eitzu Machshava. When Rabbi Yeshua passed away, advice and thought was gone because he was always an expert at Joshua's Apsukim and being able to answer against the Minim and the Apikursim. So that disappeared with him. Mishemes Rabbi Akiva Botla Zroye Torah. When Rabbi Akiva passed away, the arms of Torah, the depth of being able to learn the Svara of Torah and understand how Torah Shabbat Peh relies on Psukim, that disappeared. Vinistatmo minus a Chochma, and the wellsprings of Chochma were stopped up. Mishemes Rabbi Lozman Azayah Botla Atres Chochma. When Rabbi Lozman Azayah passed away, the crowns of Chochma disappeared. Sha'ateres Chachamim Ashram, because the crown of Chachamim is their wealth, and Rabbi Lozman Azayah was extremely rich. Mishemes Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa botlu anshe maisa, as we said in the Mishnah. Mishemes Abba Yosef ben Katon to botlu chzidim. V'lomen de kushmei Abba Yosef ben Katon to shoyim katne chzidim. We said he was the last, the least of the chzidim. Mishemes ben Aze botlu ashakdonim, because he was tremendously diligent in learning Torah. Mishemes ben Zoma botlu adoshonin. Mishemes Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, ola goivai v'rabu tzoris. When Rabbi Shimon Gamliel passed away, goivai, which means locusts came, or some say that goivai is the name of a nation, and tzoris increased. Mishemes Rabbi, huchbalu tzoris. And when Rabbi passed away, the tzoris were increased and doubled. Then we said in the Mishnah, Mishemes Rabbi botla anova v'yiraschet. So omole Rabbi Yosef Chotano, leitisni anova de'ikano. Don't say, when you read the Mishnah, don't say that anova disappeared because there's I who am an onov. How can a person say on himself that he's an onov? So first of all, Marsha says, he's saying, look, you can't say something that's wrong. But the Avsichus, where it ever talks about Rabbi Yosef, he knew that his anivus itself was granted to him by Hashem. So it's not an accomplishment of his own that he should be proud of. Elsewhere, that ever talks about the idea that he understood that he became great from learning Torah, but he feels that the Anova is not an outgrowth of that, but rather a special gift that Hashem gave him. And similarly, the Omleir of Nachman the Tana, Letisni Yiraschet, the Ikano, similarly, Rav Nachman says to the Tana, don't teach Yiraschet, because I'm here, because Rav Nachman was known to be a famous Yorechet. And again, in that sicha that ever talks about Rav Nachman Reitzchok, we have the famous thing that his mother always had him wear a yarmulke because Stargazer was told her that he's going to grow up to be a ganev and like this, he should have Yiras Shemayim. So when he felt that it was a gift to him in Hashemayim, whereas Rav Yosef held that not. It was an outgrowth of what Rav Nachman accomplished in his life, and therefore it can't be said that it's something intrinsic to him. So therefore, that's what the Rebbe explains in a sicha in Chelek Yudgimel why Rav Yosef didn't mention Yiraschet, that Rav Nachman, well, he knew Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman knew Rav Yosef, because each one figured they knew the other one has the quality, but they figured it was an accomplishment of their own rather than something that was given to them in Lamaila. Okay. So at the bottom over here, it says that in some Mishnayos, and the printed Mishnayos as well, they have the following piece at the end. Pinchas ben Yoraimer, Zehirus maybe the day Zrizus, being careful with the not doing Averus brings a person to Zrizus, to being quick to do mitzvahs, or Zrizus maybe the day Nikius. Zrizus brings a person to cleanliness, to be clean from Averus and from Midas Rois. This whole Braisa, by the way, is also in Gemara and Avodah Zarah. The whole Sefer Mesilas Yesharim, the famous Musa Sefer, is based on this Braisa, explaining in detail what each of these milas are. Anyway, unukiyus mivile de tara, that brings a person to be tahor. Tara mivile de prishus, that brings him to be separated even from things that are mutter, to be machmer on himself. Or prishus mivile de kedusha, that in turn brings him to kedusha. Or kedusha mivile de anova, which in turn brings him to be an onov. Va'anova mivile de yiraschet, which in turn brings him to fear sin on the higher level, of course, to be afraid, to be embarrassed in Hashem's presence. V'yiraschet mivile de chasidus, that brings him to chasidus, which is going the finim mishuras adin. That leads a person, now a person is worthy to have Ruach HaKodesh rest on him. Ruach HaKodesh Mevila De Tchias HaMesim, that makes it Hashem can now give him the ability to do Tchias HaMesim. Or Tchias HaMesim, Baal Yidei L'Yo HaNovi Zoch HaLatoiv, and that will be accomplished through L'Yo, B'mehir V'yemenu, Yovi V'yegelenu, Kein Yehi Rotzen Om. Hadron Alach Egla Arufo, Slikol HaMasech Tesoyta.
Oh, she said it was
on the bottom over there in the printed Gemara.